One of the things I've never done is driven one of those. I've had a very fortunate life. I've never had a proper job. I've just had a job where I've been able to play buses all my life, and it's been great. And I've driven all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But those of you over a certain age will almost certainly have been on a coach tour on one of those. There are thousands of the things built in the few years after the war. And I've never had the chance to drive one. And I've always said, if I've driven one of these old Bedfords, I can die happy. But anyway, we shall see. I hope I don't die actually driving one when I get the chance. But now, we're going to be looking today at a not very well-known character in the New Testament called Simeon. And he knew exactly what he had to do before he died, because God had made it clear to him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. And this is exactly what happens to him. And we'll look at the passage in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. I'll have a look at that in a moment. And this was Simeon's great desire to see the Lord's Messiah come. And as I say, he'd been promised by God that he wouldn't die without seeing Jesus. And he gives us this this lovely song, well known to those of us with a good Anglican background. If you've been to Anglican evensongs, you'll have sung the Nunc Dimittis, the two things that we always have to sing in the evening: the Magnificat, which is Mary's song, and the Nunc Dimittis, which means, what does it mean? Now you allow this to happen, or now you permit this. And in the choir, we always used to call them the Mag and Nunc. These words, the Nunc Dimittis, very important in the Anglican Church. So let's just read the passage now. If Hannah can move the screen on for me, that would be lovely. Thank you. Sorry, I said 22. It starts at verse 31, Luke 2, 21 to 35. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." So there's Simeon with Jesus in his arms. Mary and Joseph would have had to have brought Jesus to the temple when Jesus was 40 days old, so about 6 weeks. And Mary would have been considered unclean, having given birth for 40 days. So according to the law, they had to present their firstborn son to the Lord, and they had to wait 40 days to do that so that Mary would be considered clean. So Jesus here is about 6 weeks old. I'm not much of an expert on babies, but he looks a wee bit more than 6 weeks old there. I thought he was a jolly big baby. But anyway, so this man Simeon gets a job, as it were. But we don't know much about Simeon at all. This is the only place that we hear anything about Simeon in the Bible. It's the only place in all four Gospels where he even gets a mention. And what it says here, really, is all we know about him. So what do we know about him? Well, he was a man in Jerusalem. That probably goes without saying. We know he's a man, and we know this took place in Jerusalem. But just to be clear, the Bible tells us he's a man in Jerusalem. Possibly of much more significance, we hear that Simeon is a man who is righteous and devout. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Very strange phrase. But what it means is he's waiting for Israel to receive peace and comfort in the coming of the Messiah. And I'll probably talk a little bit about that later. And very significantly, the Holy Spirit was on him. We can probably surmise that he was a priest in the temple. The instruction to the family is to take their firstborn male child to the priest in the temple. It's possible that he was just some random geezer who picked up Jesus when they came in. But I think we can probably surmise that he was a priest, particularly as he proclaims a blessing over Jesus. And we can probably surmise that he was elderly. Not necessarily, but he's had this clear indication that he won't die until he's seen the Messiah. And now he's happy. He's seen Jesus, and he's happy for that to be the end of his life. He's really contented about that. So I think we can probably assume that he's an old man. We also know that the name Simeon means one who hears. And Simeon had heard from God in a remarkable way. So the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. The great thing about being a Christian is that we can receive the Holy Spirit. God has promised us that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all mankind. But actually, this occurs about 35 years before that promise is fulfilled. There have been scriptural references, particularly in... who was the prophet? My mind has gone blank. Who predicts... it's Micah, isn't it? Is it Micah? No, it's Joel. It's Joel. Thank you, Diana. Sorry, old age creeping up again. Joel has promised that the Messiah, that the Holy Spirit will be sent to all people. But at this time, it was very, very rare for somebody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are few mentions in the Old Testament of the Spirit of God coming on individuals. But they are very few and far between. At one point, Moses, who clearly was filled with the Spirit, is delighted that 70 of his elders are filled with the Spirit, but it's only for a very short time, and Moses is disappointed that infilling with the Spirit didn't continue. So very few references. The Holy Spirit is mentioned by that title only about half a dozen times in the Old Testament. And from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, they're what are sometimes known as the quiet years, where not a lot spiritually seems to have happened. So it's remarkable that this man has been filled with the Holy Spirit. He has been singled out by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder why God has chosen this man to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe it's because of his description of righteous and devout. I think God has singled him out because of his righteousness and his devotion to God. And I think this is something that's very important for us to grab hold of. We know it's a truth that we don't earn the Holy Spirit. We don't earn salvation. Those are given to us. But at the same time, I think it's perfectly understandable that God can use people who live according to his ways and his purposes. They do everything they can to live a righteous life. And those who are devoted to him, who spend time reading his word, who spend time in his presence, who spend time listening to God, those are the people that God is going to be able to use. Yes, we can all be filled with the Spirit. We can all enjoy the benefits of the Holy Spirit through the grace of God working in our lives. But if we're people who are truly devoted to God and who truly listen to God and spend time with him and try and live according to his purposes, are we not the people that God is going to choose to give special messages to give special blessing from the Holy Spirit? As I say, it's not a case of earning those that blessing. We're still going to mess up. We're still going to get things wrong. We're still going to sin. But God will choose those people who are truly devoted to him and truly righteous, which this man Simeon obviously was. And he's chosen Simeon to be somebody really special and to receive this message. And there's Simeon, as I say, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Possibly this is a truth that God has revealed to him. The people at that time would be expecting the Messiah to come and save the Jews from the oppression of the Roman Empire. There are people who'd been oppressed for about 600 years, been invaded and taken over. And Simeon understands that actually the Messiah isn't going to come as a great warrior to free the people, but is going to bring comfort and peace to Israel. We know that God's told him he won't die until he sees the Messiah in person. And the other thing we read here is that he was moved by the Spirit to be in the right time, in the right place at the right time. He was moved by the Spirit at that particular moment to be in the temple. So he hears from God and acts on what God says. He's given that very specific instruction by God to be at the temple at that particular time. And then the whole of this prophecy over his life, that he will see the Lord's Christ before he dies, is fulfilled. But not only that, he brings some very important words in the words of the Nunc Dimittis, this song of faith and adoration and of prophecy. He says, I can now depart in peace, as it says in the good old-fashioned authorised version of it, according to thy word. But he also reveals that the Messiah will be a light to lighten the Gentiles. The expectation was that the Messiah would come to redeem the Jewish people. But now it's revealed through Simeon that the Messiah will come to be a light to the Gentiles as well as to be the glory of the people of Israel. So the Messiah is there for all of us, not just the Jews. And Simeon has been chosen, this man that we hear very little about, to reveal this truth that Jesus has come for all of us, not just the Jewish people. It's a wonderful truth that he's revealed. He's also revealed various truths to Mary, and it's as if parts of a jigsaw are beginning to come together. Mary, when Jesus was conceived, was visited by the angel who told her that she was going to have a child, and that child was going to be the Son of God. That must have been the most wonderful and amazing news. But she's not told the next bit of the story until Simeon comes along. And actually, there's some fairly hard messages for her here. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. nasty things and horrible things are going to be said about him. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. When Jesus came to be crucified, Mary would know that absolutely awful pain, as it says there, her sword will pierce her own soul too. It was time for Mary to know these things and to hear these things. And God had chosen Simeon to reveal the next part of that jigsaw, both for Mary and for Joseph, who were, it tells us, wondered about these things that they'd heard and marvelled about them. But for all of us too, that the message of Jesus isn't just about this nice baby who's born at Christmas, but that there's a much more important and tougher message that we need to grab hold of. So God's used Simeon to reveal many different truths. So what can we say about Simeon? Well, as I say, first of all, these promises have been given to one who is righteous and devout. As I say, we don't earn the Holy Spirit, but God can use those of us that want to follow him, that want to be righteous and devout. He's known for a long time that he would see the Messiah, and he's waited patiently all his life in faith for that. He's had faith throughout his life that one day what God has said to him will be revealed. It must have seemed at times ever so unlikely that he would see the Messiah. And many of us, we believe in the second coming of Jesus, but do we really believe it might happen in our lifetimes? Do we really believe that we might actually see that? It seems a little bit improbable, and it must have seemed a little bit improbable to Simeon over the years that he would actually be chosen to see God's Messiah, but he holds on to it in faith throughout his life. His prophecies reveal a few things that can only be revealed supernaturally. They're things that Mary and Joseph needed to hear at that time. They're things that the whole of mankind has needed to hear too. And God has given Simeon these pieces of information that actually fit into a much bigger jigsaw, much bigger picture. And God does that with us sometimes. He gives us words that on their own don't mean anything, but when they're fitted into a bigger picture, suddenly that picture comes to life, and we suddenly understand what it's all about. So if ever you feel that God is giving you a word about something and it seems totally improbable, then bring it. You never know, it might just be the thing that unlocks that bigger picture. The predictions about the Messiah that Simeon has brought prophetically, all of them actually are in the Scriptures. They're all somewhere in the Old Testament. They may have been a bit hidden away. They may be things that people didn't understand. But the bit, for instance, about the Messiah being the light to lighten the Gentiles, that comes up twice in Isaiah, in passages which we know are predicting the coming of Jesus, 1,000 years or so before it actually happened. So two important principles there of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. First of all, he's not going to give us prophecies that don't relate to Scripture. He's not suddenly going to change his word and bring us something totally new that's nothing to do with anything that's ever been said in Scripture. So if you do have a word from God or believe you have a word from God, check it out with Scripture. If it's not in there, it's probably wrong. If it is in there, it may well be right. And if it is right, it will certainly accord with what's in the Scripture. And the other thing is, these are slightly obscure prophecies in the Old Testament, which certainly wouldn't have been understood by many people around at that time, because as God so often does, he breaks through our preconceptions, and the Holy Spirit has actually brought those passages to life. All of a sudden they make sense, And sometimes when we're reading our Bible and the Holy Spirit comes on us, we'll see a verse or a passage or a few words or whatever that suddenly jump off the page at us, and we suddenly think, I've never read it like that before. And the Holy Spirit so often does that, brings God's word to life. That's how the Holy Spirit works in us, or one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in us. So the Spirit here, through Simeon, is lifting the veil off some of these scriptures and beginning to reveal the truth behind them. And the other key thing about the prophecy, which we can't see at the time, but prophecy will come true. And we know that the prophecies that Simeon has brought here, all in the fullness of time, come through. Now, one thing I would just like to point out is this funny little phrase here. This child is destined to call the falling and rising of many in Israel. Now, actually, that is a very significant prophecy, and it's something that's still very significant to us today. As I say, at that stage, he was a little six-week-old baby, nice, cuddly little creature, but the implications of this baby are so massive, and they will cause, as it says here, the rising and falling of many in Israel. Now, let's just forget about the in Israel bit at the moment. Let's just assume that this applies to all men, and God has poured out his Spirit on all men. We're told very clearly that the Messiah will be the light to lighten the Gentiles. So we can assume this also applies to us who aren't part of the people of Israel in that sort of literal sense. Jesus causes the falling and rising of all of us. It says here that Jesus will be a sign that will be spoken against, and many people still speak against Jesus. More and more people seem to speak against Jesus in our society and where we're at the moment in the world. And those of us that speak against Jesus, and we can do that either by denying him, we can make fun of what he's all about, or we can just ignore him. That way we are speaking against Jesus. And it tells us very clearly that if we adopt that approach to life, we will fall. Ultimately, we will fall. We will, as it were, get our comeuppance. We won't inherit eternal life with God the Father. And yet, if we do accept that word, if we do take it on, then we are those who will rise. We are those who have a tremendous hope. We will literally, physically rise on that last day when we're all brought out of the grave. And don't worry if you intend to be cremated. God will work that out. But we will all rise again and be physically with him. But in the meantime, we will be with him spiritually in heaven. Jesus, as we accept him, as we believe his word, as we refuse to speak against Jesus, we will be the people who will rise. And we have that choice today. It's a very stark and significant choice. We can be those people who ultimately will fall, or we can be those people who receive Jesus into our lives and will rise again. We'll have lives that are filled with hope, filled with promise, and we will rise, and we will see God ultimately. Death won't be the end, it will be the beginning of a wonderful eternity in the most wonderful place. So if you're not sure where you stand at the moment, please think about that. Please think, if you've denied Jesus, just think about the possible consequences and just consider how you can today give your life to Jesus and be those people that rise. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you still speak to us today, you still speak to us, and Lord, to this very day, you give us that choice. And Lord, I pray that anyone here who hasn't yet made that choice to follow you will be challenged, Lord, will be filled with the hope and promise that they will rise again, that they will rise and have a new hope. Lord, speak into people's hearts, we pray. And Lord, for those of us that want to see more of your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, Lord, will you help us to be those like Simeon who are righteous and devout and take these things seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.